Good morning, everyone. Great to see you all, inside and outside. It's fantastic, and it's a glorious day. And we're continuing our series on faith at work, and I'm glad I won't disappoint you who have been looking forward to hearing about how this applies in the life of Abraham. I'm going to pray. Let's pray together. God, our Father in heaven, we love you and we worship you. We commit ourselves to you this morning and right now, that we will humble ourselves before you, before your word and before your spirit. And we thank you for today, for this passage, and I pray your spirit will speak in a powerful way. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. So, yeah, last week, I'm sure you enjoyed having John Ollie here. I was a bit disappointed that he didn't mention me, because I've studied there for 6 years, but that's okay. I wasn't here, so I wasn't here to remind him. I was out, actually, at Wildcatcham. Well, even more specifically, Minivale. Put your hand up if you've ever been through Minivale. A few, yeah, okay. Well, there's not much to see. There's a beautiful old building there, which is a church, and the Dowran Church of Christ meet there. So I was speaking there, and it was really good. But now I get to speak here, which is really cool. So last week, John Ollie was talking about Babel, and they were building the tower to make a name for themselves, weren't they? And then they did that, and it didn't go so well. And I'm not going to repeat that, but now shifting, the very next chapter is about Abram. And then Abram in chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, he's told to go, to leave your family, and I will give you a name. So I just thought that was really interesting, that people at Babel wanted to make a name for themselves, and God interrupted that. And then now he's calling Abram, and he's saying, I will bless you, and I will give you a name, and it will be great. So there's something in that. And I was thinking about names, and names are really quite important, aren't they? I love remembering people's names so that I can say, hi, Alan. G'day, Paul. Hi, Chris. Hi, Amy. And people's names are important. And I just thought perhaps we could be a little bit interactive this morning and find someone to talk to and just share if you know what your name means. And secondly, if your name has any family significance. So I would go and say, Phil, my name Rowan means either famed one in Celtic, or it's a type of tree with red berries. And it has no family origin at all, except my middle name is Joseph, and that was my grandpa's name. But so go for it. Find someone who you might not live with and share with them the meaning of your name, if it has any family.
Bruce, what about you?
I don't know what my name is.
Oh, you don't?
It means craggy rock.
Means rock?
Craggy
rock. That's good. Oh, yeah?
Okay, I might have to stop you there, but I'm sure you learnt a lot about each other, and that's really fun, isn't it? Ruth just shared about Craig's name. If you're interested, it means a craggy rock. So don't know. I'm sure that doesn't mean anything about him. So Yeah, you might be interested in my family. So I grew up with three sisters. My mum and dad, we lived in Huntingdale. So, my family, still see them regularly. I got four kids, Isaac, Solomon, Annabelle, and Eleanor. Isaac means son of laughter or joy, bring a part of joy. Solomon means peaceful. And I like to pray that he would be wise, like King Solomon as well. And then Annabelle means loving. Eleanor means light, either the light of God or God's light. And so that's it. What does your name mean, Anika? Graceful. Yep, that's very suitable. So Abram means father, and that's very significant to this story. And so he was called to go. He was called to leave his family, and then he was promised that he would get a family. But in this part of the story, Abraham's a little bit unsure of what is going to happen because he's got no son, he's got no heir. And that was very important in those days, to have someone to pass on all your inheritance to. And you wanted to keep that within your family. But he didn't have a family. He had a wife. He had a nephew. So he's worried. And God says, don't be afraid. Don't worry. I have promised this to you, and I will fulfill that. So he's gone. He's been obviously blessed with great possessions, but he doesn't have a family. Hebrews 11 talks about the way that he trusted in God to promise, even when he didn't see it. And he only saw, really, his son Isaac to be born. But there was some significant challenges along the way towards that, because he tried to get the blessing of a son himself. Do you remember Hagar and Ishmael being born? And that didn't go so well. But God was faithful to provide a son through his wife, Sarah. And so family is so important here. And Abram was wondering, what is going to happen to all the blessings that God has given me? At the moment, it's going to go to our servant, Eliezer. And, you know, I'm sure he probably liked him, but it's not quite the same. He wasn't in his family. And so he really wanted to pass it on to his son. And because he'd worked for all the blessings that he had been given by God. Abram was extremely blessed. He was, would have been very wealthy in all the livestock that he had, and he was also very generous with that. And I think that's a big part of it. He had great faith, and God honored that faith. So family was important, and it's really interesting that Abram was called father. And in this passage, it talks about God telling him to go outside and look at the stars. And so it's really interesting situation for Abram, where he's got no children, but God's telling him to look up at the stars, and that's how many children you're going to have. You could just hear him thinking, yeah, I trust that's going to happen, but I don't know how. And then when Sarah has a baby in her old age, what does she do? She laughs. She laughs. How can this be possible that she would have a baby at that age? But God was faithful, wasn't he, to his promise? And then you see this slight shift in his name. So the name is important again for Abram. So he went from being a father to being a father of many. And do you know the song, we used to sing it in Sunday school? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And then you do the actions. You do the one hand and the left hand and, feet. I was telling Isaac this morning, and he Didn't really get it. Maybe because I wasn't singing it properly. So maybe, who knows, they might be singing it out the back right now. We're singing it. There you go, Sue. Thanks. There's a nudge. She loves it. And I am one of them. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. So Abram went from being a father to a father of many, and he was blessed. And what God promised him in Genesis 12 hadn't come yet in Genesis 15, but then came later on. And it's amazing, family, how important it was. And I think there's a lot to learn from this. I'm going to read Romans 4. It's a powerful passage if you want to follow it on with me. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Ha, that's one of my favorite passages. And you can see the link there that is pretty clear, isn't it? Abraham, through his faith, was blessed. He had a child, and through that child, there became a nation. And that the name Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, and the nation of Israel became great, and it was blessed, and it was a blessing, though they failed in many ways. And then through that nation came the Messiah. And through the Messiah came justification for us, for our sins. If we have faith, if we have a faith the same as Abraham, if we believe in the promises of God that he will forgive us our sins, he will give us eternal life, he will give us his grace and his favor, and the kingdom of God will come to us. And if we believe in that, if we believe in all that was achieved through Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, and through the Spirit then being poured out to those who are his children, then we can be called a child of Abraham if we have the same faith. And that is just incredible that we can read that Genesis 15, even though Abraham was a little bit worried, he was a bit scared, God fulfilled that promise to him, and then through him came our Savior. And so if we have that faith, we have peace with God. We have access to the grace of God in which we stand. We can stand in that grace as forgiven people, as people who have his Spirit in us if we believe. And I hope that you believe. I really do hope that this world in all its trouble and all its temptations and all its distractions is not enough to cause you to doubt. But I really hope that you're holding on to the promises of God, and that's your anchor, that's your hope, the hope of glory. And so there's a significant shift then as you think about Abraham then to Jesus. And the way that this promise is fulfilled in the next part, chapter 15, verses 11 to 20, I'll just summarize it because there's a lot of great detail, and I won't go into the detail, but there are significant parts in there. God was showing that he was going to be faithful because Abraham asked him, "How will I know that this will happen?" And then God tells him to get different animals, and as soon as Abraham knew what he was saying about animals and cutting them and presenting them before him, he knew, okay, God is cutting a covenant with me. And so he knew that because this was a practice that took place between kings and other kings when they were conquered. They then entered into this covenant, and it was cut through animals being cut. And generally, so Abram got these animals, he got the birds, and he presented them on the ground. When the birds came, he chased them away because he knew this was very important. These animals had to be kept holy and good and untainted by other birds that were unclean. And so then this darkness comes, and a torch appears, and the torch passes through the animals that were cut. And God, this was a symbol of God's presence coming through between the animals, cutting them, and they were burnt up, this torch, flaming torch. And this is incredible because Abraham... It didn't say Abraham had to go through with him. God did this himself for Abraham. He was showing that I am serious. I'm going to fulfill my word. And if not, then I'm going to pay the cost. And so then we see Romans equating that sacrifice with what happened to Jesus. Jesus on the cross, and so Jesus was separated from his Father on the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so he was separated from his Father in heaven, and he did so on the cross. His body was cut. He cut this covenant with people in order to fulfill promises. And as his body was broken, this new covenant was established with people in a even broader way, so that then not only was the nation of Israel able to be called children of Abraham and children of the covenant, but all people who would place their hope and their faith and their trust in Jesus as the Messiah would be able to enter into that covenant with God as part of his family, as part of his family. That is just incredible that this covenant, this Jesus' work on the cross was him providing for his family. He was willing to go to the very extreme to allow his own body to be cut. But then, like he says, the temple that would be destroyed would be rebuilt in 3 days. And it was a sign of Jonah. It was that he raised to life again. And he establishes that eternal covenant with us. And it's just so powerful. It's just so powerful. And so when you think about Abraham, you can think about that symbol. And read it. I encourage you to read it, verses 11 to 20, and what happened. Because there's a lot of parallels between that covenant ceremony and the new covenant through Jesus' body and his blood, with the darkness and all that. So then thinking about now, if we're part of God's family, if we have entered into covenant with him, what does that then mean? You know, families, our earthly families, are often dysfunctional, aren't they? Often there's a lot of diversity in families. There's a lot of tension, perhaps. There's a lot of argy-bargy. There's a lot of grace and a lot of love, though, too, and a lot of committed. You're part of my family. I'm going to help you out. So what does that mean to live as part of God's family? If he has paid such a price for us to be a part of his family as his children, what does that mean for us? And I was going to interview Michelle Terranova, because I don't know if you know about Toddler Jam here every Wednesday, two sessions. There's a significant number of families that come. And they come here because they trust the Toddler Jam team with their family. And so they come with their family, they bring their little kids, even newborn babies. There was a newborn baby on Wednesday. It was only less than a week old. And I don't think they pass it on to get lots of holds then. But there's been people who've come and, look at my new baby. And, you know, there's such a rejoicing in that family and sharing them. And the parents that come, they will trust the Toddler Jam team to hold their baby. And they can have a break. They can go out and have a cuppa and something to eat. And Michelle would have said that better. But she was talking about that and how significant it is. Toddler Jam is one of those times in families' lives where they look forward to coming. The one time in the week that they might get out. And it's just amazing that we can provide that for them, that space, as we as a church family can then invite other families to come in and experience what it's like. They might come from dysfunctional families. They might be experience all sort of heartache and trials in their family, but they can come and they can be cared for. And it's just a beautiful picture. And we've been able to, Bruce and I have been sorting out a lot of seconds food from Coles, and we're able to have an opportunity where we can get food that was going to be chucked out by Coles, bring it here that morning. We can and provide food, bread and fruit and vegetables to families. And amazing story about one of the grandmas that come. She asked if I could take a bit more. She made a few meals for her kids who were going through hard times. So just that simple way of just picking up some food to bring it here and give it out, not knowing, you know, where it's going to go. With, you know, what's a loaf of bread mean for someone sometimes? It seems like just a simple thing to do, but the amazing testimonies coming out of that are just significant. And I just love that, just how we as a family can help other families. And you just don't know what that's going to do. Karen Entwistle, she shared about Toddler Jam, one of the mums who brought her kid when they were toddlers to the, and then Karen bumped into her actually at youth group. So then there's that connection that Toddler Jam had with her child as a toddler, and now growing up as a teenager, they've come to youth group and with friends of Karen's daughter, and it's just so cool. Those seeds that were sown in Toddler Jam perhaps might grow to bear fruit in the life of a teenager in youth group as well. And that's all because us as a church family have asked the question, what can we do to help? How can we provide for others? And these are a couple of ways that we've been able to do that. So just another question for you, just to think about and to share maybe with the same person is, and I think it's going to be on there. Yeah, what is something that you can work on to help someone in your family, or perhaps even extending that further? What can you do? What could you commit to? Something practically that might bless someone in your family, or perhaps another family that you know. So have a minute to think about that, and if you if you want to, share that with the person behind you or person next to you. So, yeah, have a couple of minutes to do that. Well, that's great. Hopefully you've been able to encourage one another and share some things. You know, just even a visit sometimes, or even to pray for families. So we've probably heard of this being talked about quite a bit. Where is it? A bookmark. There. This bookmark's... it would be so good if everybody took one just on the table out there. It's called a blessed prayer. So perhaps you might not have kids, or you might not have a family that you live with regularly, but perhaps you can pray for people. And so this is a really helpful way to do that. The acronym BLESS, body, labor, emotional, social, spiritual. And you can commit to pray for one person, five people or more, who you might be able to bless and you might be able to spend some time with and share your faith with, share your family with. So, yeah, hopefully that's really helpful, because God established a family at the beginning with himself as Father, and he works through families, and he wants us to be a family of believers that invites others into it. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, it's such a privilege to call you our Father, and we thank you that we can be your children. Thank you that you paid the price for us to come into your family. And I really ask that you'll give us insight from your Spirit to how we can help bring others into your family. How we can show our faith. Please strengthen our faith through difficult times. I pray you might comfort us who've recently lost family members. I really pray that your source of strength and your comfort and peace will be upon us, be upon those who are grieving. And yeah, really ask that you'll just give us one person that we can bless this week. One person that we can pray for, that we can visit, that we can provide a meal for, or a phone call to, or even a text message. Just I pray that you'll prompt us through your Spirit during this week to respond to this message. So thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.